Life, health, home, travel, and more. Life Matters, brought to you by Janice Hartley of Keefe Real Estate, your lakefront and lakes area real estate specialist. Mercy Health, a passion for making lives better. Braden Dental, two generations of dental care, downtown Lake Geneva.
Is the laugh button working?
Good, all right, here we go. In 3, 2, 1.
Life Matters is on your radio, Lake 96.1.
Big anniversary, or reunion, actually, over at Grand Geneva this weekend.
Huge.
Yes. Playboy Bunnies.
Now,
50th anniversary.
Did you happen to head on over there last night, by any chance?
No.
It would have been fun, wouldn't it have been?
I think you just had to be a bunny.
I know, yeah,
or worker or something in that era. So, But Diane Matusik is going to join us, and she is a Playboy Bunny. Mm-hmm. She was worked here at the Grand Geneva from 1971 into 1973, and she was a Playboy Bunny, and has been to all the, you know, all the festivities this weekend and stuff, and probably will be at more today. I think they were doing some lunches or something today, off site or something. So she's going to stop by and talk about being a Playboy Bunny and, you know, just kind of some behind the scenes type stuff. That had to be fun.
I know. And, you know, working in radio, we have some pretty good stories of our own.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine being a Playboy Bunny? And especially back in the 70s.
Right.
How many stories that she has. I'm excited to talk to her. And if you could just be a fly on the wall,
I know.
You know, at this convention or the reunion, and just to kind of sit and listen to all of these stories, it would have been amazing.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I can't wait to hear
Diane has to say. I mean, they had a recording studio over at the Grand Geneva for a long time.
And did they?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And people would come, the artists would come and record albums there.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And yes, I said albums.
Albums, yeah. Well, they're making a comeback, too. The vinyl is. So.
Is it really?
Yeah. Yes. Sales
but
are.
Who has the record players?
I do actually. Yes. Yeah. The needle is broken. So I need to find somebody to fix
Amazon.
That. But, well, it's a console. It's our original that when I grew up, it's the original console that we had.
But the needle should just pop out.
Maybe there's something else going on.
On the arm.
Yes.
Like if you lift it up and it should just be, it should just pop out.
What, are you free this afternoon?
Coming from jack of all trades, master of none. I'll look at my schedule.
Bring your tool belt.
I have one. Don't
laugh. I know. That's why I'm saying that.
And then, of course, the Republican Party state convention was last weekend, and Chris Gable is here to talk about the different nominations and what happened, and to answer any weird questions that I have about whether or not we're going to build a wall and things like that.
Yes.
Questions he actually doesn't plan to answer until I ask them. And then he's like, this has nothing to do with why I'm here, but okay.
Interesting lineup today.
It is.
With both of them.
It is.
Together,
it is. And last week, Chris posted something on Facebook that said something to the effect of, I'm looking forward to joining Nancy and Melody on Life Matters on Sunday morning, but wait till you hear the interview after mine.
Exactly.
So he was talking about Diane. So it will. We're going to have some fun this morning. Have a lot of fun. Yes. So anyway, but coming up next, Chris Gable with the Walworth County Republican Party right here on Lake 96.1.
Life Matters continues on Lake 96.1, sponsored by Braden Dental Center. Quality care, informed patients, comfortable setting, and Hendrix Wilking Insurance. Experience when it matters most.
We have to wait till the commercials are over before we start talking. Joining us this morning, Chairman of the Walworth County Republican Party, Chris Gable. Good morning.
Good morning, Nancy. Mel, how are you doing today,
I'm
ladies?
Doing great.
Coming fresh off of the annual Republican Party convention. Is that for the state?
Yeah, that was the statewide convention held in Milwaukee last weekend. Yeah.
Yeah, how was that?
What a convention.
Yeah.
I've been to a handful of conventions, but this was probably the best. It was well run. The crowd was enthusiastic.
Awesome.
The speeches were just phenomenal.
That's what you want to hear.
Oh, it was great. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a pumped up grassroots crowd at the convention this year.
Awesome.
Really exciting.
Cool. So what changes came out of it? What came out of it? First of all, we know that Leah Vukmir was endorsed. How does that, do you think, change her campaign, or does it?
What it does, once the state party, once the Republican Party of Wisconsin and the delegates at the convention endorsed her, I think it was 72.66% of the vote that she got.
Yeah.
Then that puts the party behind her.
Okay.
The way the constitutions and things are written up, that the county parties aren't supposed to get behind a state level candidate until after they're endorsed by the state
party. Itself. Okay.
And so now the county party has gotten behind Leah, or those that want to get behind her, because she's been endorsed at the state level, at the state convention.
Got it. All right. So does it change her campaign?
It can add more influence to it, yes, absolutely. And historically, I believe, and I don't remember the numbers off the top of my head, but the year that Ron Johnson got the endorsement, he won, unseated Russ Feingold.
Right.
There have been endorsements in the past that they do win. So, like Governor Walker, I mean, we can go down the list. But
sure.
But anyway, talking about Leah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, so, but going down that list, who else won endorsements?
Oh, yeah, the governor, Governor Scott Walker was endorsed again, and Lieutenant Governor Clayfish, and Attorney General Brad Schimmel were all endorsed at the convention.
You know, we should get Brad in here and talk to him about not only, you know, the upcoming election and his campaign, but I know that he is working extremely hard on the opioid crisis that we have here in this state, in this country, really. And we should get him in. We'll give him a call and get him in to talk about that, because that, you know, it seems to me like when kids aren't in school in the summertime, that might be, you know, a bigger issue. There's less people keeping an eye on our youth when they're not in school.
Exactly.
And so it would be interesting to me to know, you know, how they change kind of things in the summertime, or if it does, you know, does tourism in this area contribute to that or whatever. So, but he has got Brad's got just a unbelievable, great handle on trying to solve that situation.
Passionate.
Very passionate about
it. The conversations I have had with him, he's passionate about this opioid problem.
Right.
And I don't know what else I can say about him. He's passionate about the issue. He announced at the convention, I believe the number was over 400,000 pounds of drugs have been turned in. And this is prescriptions that you find at home that you don't use anywhere, and statewide in the last year, or since the first of the year. I don't remember the exact time frame, but he announced over 400,000 pounds had been turned in.
Wow.
That didn't go down the waterways, that didn't end up in somebody's stomach, that, you know, that were disposed of properly by law enforcement. Because like Kurt Picknell, our current sheriff here in Walworth County, also has the 24-hour drop box in the front lobby of the sheriff's department. So if you got drugs, you don't know what to do with them anymore, take them over there and drop them off. Don't put them down the toilet anymore.
And that's anything. See, we live on a lake, and so we're specifically very careful about that anyway. I'm sure my toilet isn't flushing into the lake, but I don't know how all those things work. And
exactly.
So I'm like, really, like, you can't even flush a vitamin in my house. And then we're also real careful about, like, cleaners we use outside and stuff, just because just every little bit with the environment helps. And you'd be shocked at how much damage flushing medicines down the toilet does to the environment. Yeah. I mean, you just don't realize it. So those campaigns are great. Plus, if you've got leftover pain medication, you want to talk about a gateway.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
Those are gateway drugs to whoever steals them from you.
Right.
And they will. They absolutely will. Yeah. And so, you know, the people like that are desperate for their next
fix. Just to keep them away from young
children.
Prying eyes.
Because
trust me, going on
those child-proof caps, those kids get them open faster than you do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and think about how many people hang on to a painkiller that
just
they got.
Case.
And they have a couple of pills left over. And they say, well, you know, one day if I just, maybe I'll just have an ache or pain. I'll just hang on to this so I could sleep one night.
Right.
That's, I believe, how addiction starts. And that's why these take-back programs are so important. And I think what the Attorney General and Sheriff Picknell and law enforcement around the state is doing with that is just phenomenal. Let's get them out of the hands where they don't belong.
Absolutely.
Turn them in.
Mm-hmm.
Protect your household. Protect yourself from a potential addiction. And but yeah, just get them turned in and don't flush them down the toilet anymore.
Right.
It's a good program that they have that you can turn those in with a Dropbox for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Chris Gable from the Walworth County Republican Party joins us this morning. So as far as convention, what else is big news?
You know, just the excitement of the whole thing.
Right.
We have the big news. I don't think we've talked since Paul Ryan announced that he wasn't running.
Right.
Yes.
And so we have some candidates that are running, and I won't mention them at this point because I would, if I were to forget one, I would error, and then that would be a hoopla. But there are three or four that I'm aware of that are in it or have said that they're going to run.
When does that get narrowed down?
That'll be in August.
Okay.
There's an August 14th primary.
Isn't that unusual?
No, that's the time frame.
I don't know why I feel like I don't regularly vote in August.
That doesn't seem like it's, I mean, I know that we're just now coming into summer. We have had a short spring, but that doesn't seem like it's that far away.
It's not that far away.
To vote for something like this.
I
don't think of August as voting.
Right. I don't think of.
Yeah.
So is that normal?
Yeah, what happened to April or November? What's this August stuff?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well,
what's
the February primary. Yeah. No, but August 14th, there's a primary which will determine which of the Republicans will go forward to take on whoever the Democrats choose.
Chris, you know that's the day before Venetian Fest starts, right?
No, I haven't looked at my calendar for what's going on
now
in Lake Geneva. Sorry. I do now.
Do you know how busy that week is?
You know
how
how you need to get to the polls on August 14th? Do I need to come take you there?
No. Can you vote early for something like this once everything is
okay? Yeah. That's what
and
I do.
I guess I don't know if they've changed the terminology. My understanding is in Wisconsin, we don't call it early voting. Technically, it's in-person absentee voting.
Oh, okay.
And you can go in and contact your municipal clerk, find out the dates. They may not have those dates and times set up yet, but it usually starts about 2 weeks before the election.
That's good to keep in mind.
Yeah. And we'll be publishing it on our Facebook page, reminding people if you're not going to be in town, if you're going to be on vacation, or in-person absentee voting or absentee voting.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's what I do in Silver Lake to avoid, you know, the rush of the 300 people that vote.
300 people in Silver Lake.
You know, avoid that rush. There might be four people
metropolis
in there when I go. Oh, my gosh.
Well, what are you going to do about that? Get more Republicans to turn out in your neighborhood, Nancy.
I think that they all do.
All three of them?
All three of them.
Ouch.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't know what it is out there, but I don't know.
Yeah.
You can't tell by talking to people anymore because I feel like when you talk to people about issues, the issues have gotten so convoluted and dramatic and exaggerated. Oh. And
everything's,
you know,
drama.
I got to tell you, I don't care who the president is sleeping with, did sleep with, whatever. I just don't care.
You know,
I just don't care.
Speaking of that, at the convention, I can't remember which official said it, but they were talking. It may have been one of the endorsement speeches, too. They said that the Republicans have the elephant as their symbol, and the Democrats have adopted a new one, Stormy Daniels. I wish I could remember who said it, but yeah, that got quite a chuckle out of the crowd. Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that. You can't take credit for it, apparently, but thanks for sharing it.
That's hysterical.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't say it. I just knew what somebody said. So.
I just don't understand that. And can I just ask, do I have had my doubts about what, and my suspicions, or I think it's suspect, what Kim Jong-un's intentions are here. I want to know how it is that he just woke up one morning and said, oh, you know what? I think I'll just go ahead and deal with Trump. I think we'll have a meeting. I think I'm going to get rid of all the stuff that I've been doing. I'm going to stop doing all this testing. I'm going to wake up and be a nice person.
Yeah.
And I just am very suspect about that whole thing. He's not. There is something else up there. And I don't know why everybody's like, hey, Trump should get a Nobel Prize for, you know, getting this, you know, making North and South Korea united. It's, I don't think that's his, Kim's intention at all.
You got to wait till the ink is dry. I mean, the North Koreans have had a history of balking have deals. If there's a Chinese influence in there to denuclearize the peninsula, that's wonderful. Hopefully it works out. Hopefully the Korean people will be able to cross over north and south. I don't know if I'm all a big fan of total unification of the peninsula. But to bring peace and actually end the state of conflict between the two nations is wonderful.
Right.
And it's wonderful that the American, that the prisoners were released.
Yes. Oh, yeah, the three that came
home. Without paying $1.5 billion on a pallet or whatever that was, or was that $150 billion on a pallet in cash? We didn't even have to do that.
No.
And nor did we have to release some of the most violent prisoners at Gitmo to get that done.
Exactly.
Well, we don't know what's happened behind the scenes. And that's one of the things that you got to understand about life. What you see on Facebook probably isn't true. And the other part of that is that there's always stuff. Nobody, I don't think, I would guess none of our listeners this morning have a direct line to the White House or to the CIA that they can listen in and they know exactly what all the details of every little thing are.
You also don't know what behind the scenes of the show, Chris.
Uh-oh.
I very well could have a hotline to the White House.
Do you see that phone over there?
I could very well work.
We won't talk about that.
I could actually work for the CIA, and you wouldn't know. I mean, now, would
realistically,
you?
How can somebody actually believe that they know everything about the scenario in North Korea? If you're not the president or if you're not the Secretary of State, all you can do is sit back and hope and pray for the best.
Those guys don't even know, especially with this guy. He's shady.
Too many pronouns in there. The people in the White House and the agencies that are involved with the negotiations, they know what's going on. They got a real good handle on it.
Sure.
But can you always be guaranteed what North Korea is going to do or Kim Jong-un is going to do?
Right.
You don't know. You know,
that's what I'm saying.
He could change overnight.
Yeah.
So it's they got a good handle on it. I have no doubt. So in our intelligence gathering sources, the whole process, I have a high level of confidence in it.
I have a high level of confidence in everything we are doing.
Yes.
I have zero confidence that he will follow through. He's never done it before.
I'll be surprised if he does. I hope he does and pray he does to bring peace to the peninsula.
Well, those poor people who are suffering under his regime under the, I mean, it's just, that's crazy.
Horrible.
Horrible. It's just.
Deplorable. Really?
Oh, let's not use that word.
Oh, we're not allowed to say that.
Oh, we can't.
Because we are.
Anyway.
I digress. Yes. Again, shockingly. So Kim Jong-un, we covered that. What else? Are we going to build a wall? Not here in Wisconsin, but.
I don't know. There's two walls.
What do you think?
Let's talk about two walls.
Okay.
First thing we have to do is we have to get President Trump some help in the Senate. Senate rules, what some people may not realize is that there's over 400 bills that the House, Trump agenda bills that the House under Paul Ryan's leadership has passed.
Okay.
They get to the Senate and there they sit. Now, the handful of them have passed, but the problem is the rules of the Senate. Now, agree or disagree with them, you have to have that 60-vote threshold to get them to pass through the Senate so the president can sign them into law. So a large number of these bills are sitting in the Senate. First thing we have to do is fire Toma Tammy Baldwin. We've got to get her out in November, and we've got to elect a conservative to go in to the U.S. Senate to help Ron Johnson.
Right.
That's the first most important thing we got to get done here.
Okay.
So whatever happens in August with the primary, I don't know what Mr. Nicholson's intentions are at this point with Senator Buchmeier getting the endorsement at the convention.
Okay.
But Ron Johnson said it very well that let's make the right choice for what's best going forward.
Right.
He gave a very nice speech about it. But the two walls. If we don't change the configuration of the United States Senate and get President Trump more help in the Senate, I don't know that the wall will get built. That's where the quagmire is, as I understand it. The second wall. You hear about this this blue wave coming. Well, I'd like to think of it more as Wisconsin is going to be the red wall.
Mm-hmm.
That turns that blue wave into a blue ripple. I think that the people are saying Republicans and conservatives in Wisconsin aren't geared up. Those hundreds of people I saw at that convention are geared up.
Mm-hmm.
Are we a little tired of voting? There may be some voter fatigue settled in. There may be some frustrations because legislation isn't getting through the United States Senate. Here in the state, this election, the majority of this election coming up in November is state level.
Right.
We've got to keep the state-level offices. So I believe that there's actually two walls, the one on the southern border and then the red brick wall in the shape of Wisconsin that's going to reduce the blue wave to a blue ripple. And that's my strongest belief.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, I think that conservatives, historically, Republicans have in this state have shown that they do sort of just sit back and, you know, watch the circus, but then go vote. And we just don't stand around and say, ah, you know, like,
right.
And we're not standing around screaming in the. And what I'm talking about is Governor Walker's recall election, mm-hmm. where he got 50 some thousand votes more the second time than mm-hmm. he did the first time.
Yeah.
So, I, you know, and everybody said, oh, this is it. He's going to be, you know, it's where he's done. He's recalled. He's out. This is, you know, this is a growing. And yeah, no. All the same people came out plus 50,000 more. So I think that, yeah.
It's a different politics. Don't misunderstand me. The opposition is, the resist is very strong. It's a very strong movement. They're energized. They're mad. They're angry. And that's usually what gets people to go to the polls when they get angry. Complacency doesn't get you to the polls.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Hopefully enough conservative voters are going to look at this whole resist thing and what is going on historically around the world with movements like this. And they'll look at that and they'll go, no, this is my state. This is my country. I want it to be a conservative environment,
right.
A conservative. And they'll show up. It is. It's 100% who turns out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you look at the Skrenek race, it was disappointing that Judge Skrenek didn't win. But if you look at the voter turnout in some of the key Democrat strongholds like Milwaukee and Dane, the turnout was astronomical.
Right.
Whereas some of the outlying areas, it was nothing like that.
Hmm.
Now, here in Walworth County, we averaged roughly the same number of votes that we do in an April election. But there were more Democrats that turned out than Republicans. And so it brought the Democrat side up a little bit more mm-hmm. than the Republican side. So it's just a matter as time progresses and we are able after August to get together as a party to coalesce behind all of the Republican candidates. I think you'll see an increase in the enthusiasm because,
sure.
like you said, voting in August.
Right.
You know, how many people are thinking right now of, oh, I got to make sure I'm back off vacation to vote.
Right.
Exactly.
You know.
Right.
So, but after August 14th, I think you're going to see the bricks in the red wall of Wisconsin coming together.
Good. Right. I mean, I don't know. I see nothing. I would love to see a solid, forward-moving message from the blue wave, but mm-hmm. you don't. All you see is that anger and that, mm-hmm. you know, we can't have this. Okay, well, what do you want? Well, yeah. Well, I don't know, but we're not having that. Okay, well, that's not, we can't accomplish that.
Right.
You know, you got to have something we can accomplish, and you can't, and you just don't, there's no message other than I don't want what we're getting. Okay, well,
mm-hmm.
I don't want nothing. So
exactly.
But that's been for a long time. The last presidential campaign was full of nothing but I have nothing to say except don't vote for him. I mean, and that didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we'll see what happens. But I think that the blue wave, I don't know. I just feel very strongly that mm-hmm. there's just that the conservatives just kind of sit back and don't.
So it comes up to us.
Yeah.
It comes up to us to get the voters out.
Well, no. I mean, they go to vote,
yeah.
but they just don't stand around and yell and scream about it. Yeah. They just get up and go do their civic duty.
Right.
Right.
I've been to two campaign kickoffs in the county. Amy Loudenbeck, Representative Amy mm-hmm. Loudenbeck, had hers a couple of weeks ago, and then Tyler August. And the theme at both of those was we've got to make sure that the Republicans are energized and we get them out to vote.
I saw Tommy Thompson was there.
Yeah, Tommy was there. And he was the usual fired up Tommy Thompson, ready to go.
Right.
How that man does it. And he is still so visceral in his beliefs and commitment. It's amazing. I hope I got that kind of energy when I get a little more mature.
I couldn't go. It was too long of a drive.
Oh, yeah, next door.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a very well attended, very nice event. Both of them
good.
Were. Amy
and then
and
somebody
Tyler
used my parking
events.
Space, by oh, the way,
that was
and sent me a
they.
Picture of it to rub it in. Look where I'm at.
But no, both events were really good, and the guest speakers were very adamant that we've got to get people energized.
Right.
We just can't, and like you said, that August, who votes in August? But we do. We've got to vote in August to pick who we
right.
want.
Right.
And I did a telephone or an interview with a newspaper. I can't remember if it was the New York Times or which one it was recently, where they asked about the upcoming first congressional race. And I love primaries. I really do. Because how often in a general election do you get to vote for exactly everybody you want?
Right.
You know, whereas a primary, I have a wide array of options. And I think we've talked about this on other shows. Mm-hmm, that mm-hmm. I can go in, I can do research on people, I can look at who I want, and I can vote for who I really heartfelt want.
Right.
And that doesn't always happen once we get to the general.
Right.
Exactly.
But by golly, I vote in primaries because I vote for the person I want.
Right.
And hopefully that's a person who goes into the general and
we can vote
twice mm-hmm. for him again.
That's right.
Absolutely. But
I never abandon the general either.
Right. Well, you can't. Yeah. I mean, It's just if this you cannot complain. If you don't go mark your X in that box.
Have you been looking at social media?
Huh?
Have you been looking at social media if you can't complain?
Complain.
Have I complained?
No, not you.
No, not you.
The complaints on social media.
Just all of the complaints
I think the whole flock just flew over to
me. Feel free. I know. Huh?
What did I do?
Sometimes I don't remember what I post, so I'm usually complaining. Oh, Yanni or Laurel? That's my final question.
I have no idea what that is.
Okay.
I see it on Facebook, and I saw it on the news the other day. It's like, what?
So you don't even know.
That's okay. What got America's attention right now? Okay.
Well, you know.
It was, yep.
Thank God for social media.
Yeah, we're a easily distractible bunch, us Americans.
Yes, we are.
So I don't know. Let's see,
we went from politics to Yanni or who?
Was my parting shot with you. So coming up next, Chris, thank you so much.
Thanks, Chris.
I love you guys.
For joining
thanks
us
for having me in this morning.
That we're going to cover the Yanni and Laurel thing more on Don't Even Get Me Started later on in the show. But coming up next, this weekend, play the Grand
50th?
Geneva,
yeah,
celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Playboy Club. We have a Playboy bunny coming in.
Very exciting.
Yes. Diane Matusik is coming in. She will be here next right here on Lake 96.1.
Life Matters continues on Lake 96.1. Brought to you by Janice Hartley of Keefe Real Estate and Matters Improvement Services. Improving homes for over 40 years.
The clubs were hugely popular for a quarter of a century. When they closed in the mid-80s, I really felt it was the end of an era.
I swear, this is going to be fun. This is going to be fun. I'm so excited. Diane Matusik joins us this morning. She is a former Playboy bunny here for the 50th reunion at Grand Geneva that was yesterday, and the day before and stuff, but you've enjoyed the whole weekend here. Welcome. Thank you so much for coming.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. What a wonderful weekend we all had.
Yeah?
I mean, great to see everyone together, meet new friends. I always meet a new friend. I always exchange a number. That is my point. I like to see the girls, the new girls, the old girls.
Uh-huh.
Not old. Love I don't that. Mean old
right.
girlfriends.
Right.
I just mean former Playboy bunnies, and everyone looks so... so good. Everyone was, I mean, we have tears in our eyes when we embrace each other,
hug
each other. It's just...
It seems like you're a big family.
We are a big family. Back in the 70s, when I was a bunny, I became a bunny in 1971, right out of high school. You know, it was all new. It was just all new to come out of high school and then put on that little outfit that took two people to put on.
Oh, my gosh.
Zip it up and all
really?
That. Yeah, we are a big family. When I started there, you know, it was like, oh no, I got to walk in these heels. I love it, but at the same time, I've never done it before. And all the other bunnies that were there, whether they were 3 months longer mm-hmm. or 6 months, don't worry about it. You'll have this. And they helped you and they taught you what, you know, how you're supposed to hold your tray and how to point your tail at the person you serve. You know about that, right?
Oh, no.
Okay, so there's a thing called the bunny dip.
Okay.
And when you walk out, you have your tray in your right hand, if you're right-handed.
We have to try this.
Okay. Well, it could be left-handed, but I'm just saying for me,
I
was right-handed. And you walk out, and when you go, actually, I'm wrong. It's in your left hand because you're using your right hand. Okay.
Okay. Yes.
I go up to the table and I say, hello, my name is Bunny Dee Dee. I was Bunny Dee Dee because there was already a Diane there.
Okay.
So we couldn't have two and we didn't give out last names.
Right.
So my name was Dee Dee. Hello, I'm Bunny Dee Dee. And I would take my napkin off my tray, turn around, point my tail at who I'm serving, and do the bunny dip. I would reach all the way over. There is a way to do it. It's not just, you just don't go sideways. You bend backwards. And you put, that's how you said hello.
You had to practice that, obviously, before. I mean, that would be, that seems like it's just not
a
natural thing to do. You know?
And don't forget, when you come back and serve them, you're serving them the same way with a full tray of drinks.
Sure.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, someone tippy, you know, most of the time we learned it. We learned it because we had good training. And
it was the job.
It was the job. Right. That was the main thing of the bunny dip.
How was your interview like?
I mean, how do you interview for that?
How do you interview? So you, right out of high school, you said this. Was there an ad in the paper?
Yep.
Like,
yep.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
Yep. It was a tiny little, like a lost dog little thing. And I didn't see it. Actually, a girlfriend from high school saw it. And she said, hey, there's interviews for Playboy Bunny in October. You want to do it? I said, yeah, let's do it. So all summer long, I graduated in June 71.
Okay.
And all summer long, I remember I ate applesauce, one hot dog, and corn. That's what I ate. I lost weight. I did the exercises. And when it came time it was like a couple days before, I don't know, we didn't see each other much, or when we did, she didn't bring it up. And I said, hey, it's in a couple days. Are you ready? You want to drive? I'll drive. She said, oh, no, I'm not. I got a job at a bank.
She changed her mind on you.
I said, and I didn't hold it against her, but I was a young girl, and I said, well, right. I'm off to Lake Geneva.
Right.
And I remember wearing little mini skirt. It was a dress. And they were there to see your legs. They were there to see, you know, what you looked like, your personality, because you could be attractive and maybe too timid for the job or something, but they worked that. It was mainly how were you going to look in this tiny little bunny costume?
Can you imagine that today? I mean, they do kind of do that today.
But we were the first. Don't forget, we were the first to serve tables like that. Right. I mean, now you can go to car wash where they're topless, but we were not considered provocative. We were considered professional. We were young. Some were a little older. Nobody was old. But we were very professional, and it was new. People came. Families came. Married couples came. Of course, Lake Geneva was a convention center, so there was a lot of conventions.
Right.
A lot of movie stars.
Oh, so many
stories.
So what do you have to have a story? You have to have some kind of stories.
Well, you
were a bunny for a couple of years, right?
I was a bunny for almost 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, one of my stories I have stories. My best memories is the closeness from the girls.
Uh-huh.
My best memories is the big makeup mirror where everybody is. We're like movie stars. We're young. I mean, there's a mirror from here to there.
Right.
And lights around it and everybody going, you need makeup? You need lipstick? Hey, you got to pull this. Your stuffing's showing because we had to stuff our costumes so we didn't jiggle because we were supposed to be professional,
right.
You know. We
always jiggling allowed.
No.
I don't have that problem.
But one of my stories was most of our customers were super, of course. Everybody loves people. We're all people. That's why we're in the business. But there's always somebody that was there for another reason or has something against you. So I have two trays of drinks.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the Bunny Hutch. The Bunny Hutch was like a discotheque.
Okay.
The lights flashed off and on. It was difficult to see, carrying nothing, three-inch high heels on. It's packed. It's a Friday night. The lights going off and on. I got two trays. People are sitting. It was like couches and like little boxes that you sat on, that you served low, you served high. Some sat at the bar. So I'm walking in, I'm going to the table way in the corner, of course, trying to serve my drinks. And this one customer has his leg up on the wall, almost like making a gate so I can't get through.
Oh.
And I'm saying, excuse me, and it's so loud he can't hear me and I can't touch him because my hands are full. And I'm going, please, could you please let me through? I need to get through. Well, by the time he saw me, he says to me, I'm not letting you through. I don't know if he was flirting. I don't know if he was just being funny. But I said, I need to get through because now I got a problem here. I pick up my leg and I walk over his. He still never put it down.
Oh.
You're going to love this story. Well, you know, back in the day, we wore falls, we wore hair pieces, okay? My hair was down to my my backside, mm-hmm. but it was a fall. It was all bobby pin. My hair was a ponytail underneath. Well, as I put my foot over him to just escape the situation, he yanks my hair. My fall and my ears attached to it go back. I go back. My drinks go back. I go falling in the back. I get up and recover. Everybody in the place saw it. I turned around. I smacked him in the mouth. True story. I hit him in the mouth. Security was called. Immediately, he was out. Playboy, you did not treat your bunnies that way. I mean, I was on the floor. I was soaking wet. My hair was on the floor when I ran out because I it was so dark. I couldn't find my hair in my ears.
Yeah.
But and it's a classic.
I'm looking for my hair.
I need my ears. It was a classic story. But you know, we had to tolerate stuff like that.
Right.
But all in all, most of the if that guy is listening right now,
you know who you are.
You know who you are, but I forgive you. I forgive you. Because now looking back, I think you were flirting with me in your own crazy way.
Was he? Do you
know, he was.
I would have to guess that, yeah, if you cause any kind of trouble with a Playboy bunny, you're done. You're out.
You're done. And if you had a key, which was a membership, it wasn't a key, but it was, I think maybe it was, but then it turned into cards. They took your membership from you.
Good.
Because that is not how... I mean, there was security walking all around, making sure nobody is touching us. You couldn't touch us. You couldn't touch that bunny tail either. That is part of me. Was part of me.
Right.
Yeah, so that was one of the stories.
That's
good. There's so many nicer stories with the... Joey Heatherton was there, and Greg Morris was there, and Peggy Lee and Burt Bacharach. I mean, I wasn't there when Cher was there. There's bunnies like Bunny Sandy and Bunny Gale, who started the club. They met them all. They met them all. But there was always somebody coming in, and they were always embracing the bunnies. It's nice to have the girls in the room. Let's hear it for the girls.
Aw.
So, and here another story was when I was leaving Playboy, I was going to New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to the tram driver, because I lived on the property, which is a bunny dorm in the back, whereas we really got close because we were sisters. All even to this day, we're all sisters.
It's like a college dorm.
It's like a college dorm, and you go through stuff, and you're upset at the same time, lonely, missing home at the same time, boyfriend problem at the same time. And I say goodbye to this tram driver, an older gentleman that I just truly was one of my favorites. I wish I could remember his name. And I said, you know, I'm going to miss you. Tomorrow's my last day. He says, tomorrow's your last day. I'm not going to be here. I would have. He takes his watch off and gives it to me.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that beautiful?
That is.
I mean, to this Harold, I think his name was Harold. Yeah, so we had, listen, there's a ton of stories. Bunnies together. It's just, it was like you say, it was like a sorority.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We were all different. We were different colors, different shapes, different sizes. We came from all over.
Were the rules about, like, boyfriends coming or whatever? Was that a forbidden thing?
Yeah, like they didn't mind if your boyfriend came around, but you were not allowed to fraternize with customers.
Right.
You're not allowed to give out your number. You were not allowed to meet them in town. That was definitely a no-no. Very professional. It was like, don't come here and hit on the women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're here to work. So a lot of the customers got that.
Sure.
Flirted. We were attractive women back then, you know.
Well, yeah.
And in any job, you know, there's just a relationship that you have with your customers. It shows that it reflects in your tip.
Right.
It reflects if they come back and request your station again. And that happened a lot. So there was a lot of good friends. And again, it wasn't just the bunnies. It was the guy who drove us back and forth to the dorm. It was the bartenders, the room captains, the musicians that were there, the people that worked for the hotel, you know, who cleaned the floor and cleaned up, and the busboys and the chefs and the cooks and the grounds people.
You know, and that's a different time, too, because people were more... people worked at their jobs more long term than I think they do these days.
Right.
And so they did get to know each other better, and they did get to, I don't know, like, form closer relationships than I think people do these days. And so that's, you know, I'm sure that you have people that you still talk to that you met when you were there. And so it just seems like, like you said, of the family atmosphere, and that's exact. But everybody took care of each other.
Everyone took care of each other, and because it was pretty new, we were all like a little special. I mean, we just felt a little special, and it was like, you know. I know my father wasn't big on the idea of me being a Playboy bunny. He didn't know what it all entailed.
Right.
Does that mean you're going in a magazine? You know, and I said, no, Dad, quite frankly, what we were glorified waitresses. I mean, it was it was like a stewardess. We would just that we wore these tiny costumes and had to eat right and two people to zip you up.
Right, yeah.
So it was a good time. It was fun times.
So we're talking.
Did Hugh Hefner ever come? Did you ever meet him?
Oh, yes.
Was he there quite often?
As a matter of fact, I brought pictures, not that anybody out there could see, but it would have sparked my next conversation. We, since we were so close to the Chicago Club.
Sure.
Whenever he had parties at the Chicago Club, all the bunnies were invited. Bunnies were free. And I don't remember if they charged or we were just open. We didn't. Bunnies were free. We showed it. We had a little orange card that showed we were where we worked. My name was Bunny Dee Dee, and I worked in Lake Geneva. And they let us in. I got my picture taken with Hugh Hefner there. It's on my wall. I remember Warren Beatty was at that party. Yeah. So we did meet him. You know, at the last reunion, Diana Peterson, who put all our reunions together and is working on one in Dallas, and I'd like to plug that before I get crazy with all my stories here. She worked out an incredible tour
of
the Playboy Grounds in Hollywood 2 years ago. We went on tours. We went on a double-decker tour. We went on Rodeo Drive. Then we went to the Playboy Mansion where he was inside, and we walked around. We even got inside the mansion in one of the party rooms or like a video room, and we walked the grounds and we saw his monkeys and the animals that he has and his peacocks and his ponds, and it was wonderful.
Wow.
It was wonderful,
and that's why she runs our reunions.
Right. Well, because she planned this one, and this one, obviously, a huge success. Today's really not the last day. Yesterday kind of was when all the festivities happened. But then you said there's another one in Dallas. You guys have these every 2 years?
It's like every 2 years. But let me say something about that one that just passed. It started out where Diana was approached. Hey, we're having a 50th reunion. What do you say we get 50 bunnies? Do you think we could do that? I think I started. Did I say that at the beginning, or was that when we were talking? Well, whatever.
No, we were talking before the show.
She started to get 50 bunnies, but somebody says, "Yeah, I'm coming. Yeah, I'm coming." Now the word got out. Then it was like, "Wait a minute! Diana, let him know. Listen, I can give you more than 50," and that's what happened. The 50 went to 300.
Wow,
we have 300 girls there. And then it was about unity. It was about, hey, let's all get together in Lake Geneva. So the bartenders, any employee, the room captains, anyone that worked there was invited. Thank God for Facebook when it's used right.
Sure.
The internet, social media, your Twitter accounts, your Messenger, texting, phone mail, emailing. How it would start is, somebody would send out pictures, because we all have old pictures back then. They weren't in your phone. They were in your photo album. And we would post them. And anybody remember this name? This name? And people would say, oh, I know who that is. Oh, that's this one. Can you get... Now people started sending out pictures. Mm-hmm. We got names with pictures. It got so big that for this next reunion coming up in Dallas, Texas, okay? That's going to be September 20th to the 22nd. She already has 150 bunnies paid.
Wow.
Going to that. And just so you know, she has got a database now of, I think it's 1,700 bunnies.
I was going to say, how many do you think there were altogether? Because are there still Playboy bunnies?
Well, not
really, because
like
there's no clubs.
Don't forget there was Cincinnati. I mean, every state had one. And they were in Mexico, and they were in Acapulco, and they were, there was Greece, I think. They were all over. And all these bunnies, by the way, the one we just had, Finland, there was Mexico, of course, all over the United States. But I just wanted to say this, the event that's coming up in Dallas, Texas, is an international Playboy Bunny reunion. And anybody wanting to get in on it, I'm going to give you an email address and a phone number. It is going to be a huge event. It is Diana Peterson. Her phone number is 847-687 8220, or you can email her at formerplayboybunnyreunion@gmail.com.
Easy.
Yeah.
Former Playboy mm-hmm. Bunny. So then after, so we're talking with Diana Matusik. She's a former Playboy Bunny, 71 to 73 or
yes,
so about,
yes.
right? So after, just a quick recap of what you did after you were a Playboy Bunny. You took off and you went to New York.
I took off. I went to New York and fell in love with the East Coast, fell in love with Brooklyn, fell in love with Manhattan.
It's easy to do.
Easy to do. Cry as I'm talking. Right? Well, what I did is when I moved out there, I left Playboy. I remember the date. It was March 13th, 1973. I went out there. I was married to a lovely man for almost 20 years. And in that time, I joined the New York City Police Department. Guy next door to me gave me an application and said, hey, if you ain't doing anything, here's $10. Fill it out. Well, that was 1979. In 1982, I got sworn in. I became a police officer, a school officer. I was a narcotics undercover officer. And through my undercover work, I was promoted to detective. I worked in Manhattan, Gramercy Park. I worked in Queens. I worked in Brooklyn. I did the criminal investigation course, auto crime, insurance fraud, the intelligence division, sensitivity training.
Wow.
I was there for the 1993 attack. I was a first responder to the World Trade Center. And then before the next one, which I was also a first responder for 9/11, which I know that's your birthday, you told me.
Mm-hmm.
That brings tears to all of our eyes. While I was a detective, I went back to school and I got my bachelor's degree at John Jay College of Criminal Justice in criminology. But the 9/11 attack was, for me, I was retiring in January. So that was like 4 months earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So it is not the way I wanted to leave New York.
No kidding.
So I was... 9/11 was in the precinct that I was in. It was 7 blocks from my precinct.
Wow.
We were first responder. I didn't go home for 3 days.
I'm sure.
And the skyline changed. That's not the way I wanted to leave that beautiful city of New York
right.
City. And after 9/11, there was American flags out everywhere,
mm-hmm.
Which I'm an American Legion volunteer of Post 71 in Pewaukee. I got to get all that out.
Yes, you do.
So I did 20 years in New York City
uh-huh.
as a detective. My parents, my mother had a major stroke. The house next door to her went up for sale. I was retiring all in the same like 3 months. All lights were green. I bought the house 2 doors away from my parents.
Uh huh.
And I went to the local police department and I said, "Listen, I was a cop in New York. I got guns. What do you want me to do with him?" He says, "Well, hey, listen, we're looking for somebody like you. You want a job?
Use them.
You want a job?" So next thing you know, I'm working in the Town of Lisbon Police Department for 5 years as a detective again.
Wow.
Yeah.
So much for retirement.
So
right?
much for retirement. And right now, I'm a bonded and licensed private investigator.
Cool.
I also work at a church. I do the traffic. I am a court bailiff in Waukesha. It's a backup job. I don't get there much, but I love it. I do like All Rise, which is fun. You know, who doesn't love that?
It sounds very official.
I want to do that.
I know. Who doesn't want to do
that?
Of course, Judge Judy is my favorite.
Oh.
Do you love
I think
Judy?
You and I might be sisters.
Oh, my gosh.
In another life, yes.
I've got like 451 tapes of her. And then I just want to say that all the, and I'm a bit, because of my past, because of my, I was fortunate because I had some good jobs, met people, you know, and you learn from it. You picked up how to treat people. You picked up 9/11, a terrible, terrible situation, how people found good and people like bonded together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a major volunteer. Like I said, I'm American Legion, Adopt a Highway program. I was with the Boy Scouts. And I am also president of the newest club in town, the Optimist Club of Sussex, Lisbon, Land, and Butler.
Right?
You know Optimist Clubs?
Well, I know. I've heard of it, yeah.
Okay,
but I don't know if we even have one
well,
around here. I'm not sure.
They've been around for 100 years.
Yeah.
And I'm also lieutenant governor of 10 Optimist Clubs in southwestern Wisconsin. But I know. I'm very, very busy. But listen, but I was
I love
here,
it.
I was here this weekend for this fabulous reunion.
Yeah.
It was a photo shoot. It was a cocktail hour. It was dancing. It was reuniting, you know, exchanging business cards. It was camaraderie at its best. It was, wow, you look good. By the way, a lot of us know what we look like already because of Facebook.
Right.
There was no surprises. Right. What's your name again? We all know it.
Right.
You
right.
know.
Right.
So we got t-shirts and we got bags and we got meet and greet. We had tours of the grounds
sure.
where we used to live in the bunny
nice.
Dorm.
Oh.
And we got together for lunch. We got together again. So and we exchanged and we reunited. And it was, thanks to Diana Peterson, it was wonderful.
She's a heck of an organizer, that's for sure. She's in charge of all these,
right? Well, some people are naturals. Mm-hmm, and you know mm-hmm. what? I'm sure she's learned from all the other reunions. I went to the one in Baltimore, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the one in Hollywood. There was another one in Lake Geneva, not too, you know, several years ago. But I'm sure you learn from the mistakes, what
sure.
worked, what didn't work.
Absolutely.
And she has absolutely found out what works because she brings more stuff. And everybody wants to come. The word's got out.
Right.
Everybody wants to come. No one says, I'm not going to that. Everybody says, get me on.
Right.
Well, you know, it was certainly fun having you guys here this weekend. I mean, it was, it's the community's been talking about it for quite some time. It was
yes.
in the local paper and, you know, and it's just, but it's nice to see people have a reunion like that, where, you know, and the hugs and the like you said, the bonds that are still there, that mm-hmm. even though you haven't seen each other for mm-hmm. years, maybe mm-hmm. or talked to each other, and just
the positive energy,
right,
that comes
exactly.
from something like this.
Exactly.
One question I have for you before we wrap up, or what did you do with your cuffs that you used to wear, the white, right,
mm-hmm.
and your uniform and the bunny tail? Did that stay with, or did you get to keep anything?
Well, we weren't allowed to keep the costumes,
okay.
but I do have my cuffs.
Aww.
I do have my cufflinks. I
Perfect.
Do have my collar, my bow tie. I have my tail. It's not as white as it used to be. I've actually had an old dance costume, and I used to put on the dance costume, you know, Halloween and stuff like that.
Right.
The bunny, you know, is still there. Every time we go to these events, you can buy new ears. So I have some of this stuff, and over the years, people send you earrings that are bunnies, or you have a pin or something. And it's right up here in my mind,
oh, sure.
and in my pictures, and
yeah.
and now I have new friends over the weekend, and it was a fabulous event, over the top, and I'm sure Dallas will be over the top. And
can just anybody go to it? If do you have to have something to do with, like, you had to have been a bunny, you had to have been a worker
well,
of some
yeah,
sort.
We, there
it's,
was
it's,
a little
strictly,
restriction because
okay.
you don't know who people are.
I mean, like, I can't go.
Well, if you're my friend, you can go.
I was just going to say, come on.
Well, I could be Diane's plus one.
She right. has more than one, maybe the tail, maybe from other costumes. Or
well, you know what it was? There had to be restrictions.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Because you
course.
Don't know people walking in. And I'll tell you something. It was like on our Playboy site. People were starting to say, you know, friend requests. And if I don't know who you are, I didn't want anybody uh-huh. to be, you know, get mad. But I don't know who you are. People know where you are, what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
We've had situations.
Of course.
Know. We're women. You know, we've
right.
had situations. So there, the point was she wanted you to get registered and signed up. So if anybody had any questions, we could say, do you know this one?
Right.
Oh, good. They're okay. So, and the one in Dallas could be an international, and it'll be bunnies and...
That'll
Call
be
Diana.
Awesome.
She'll tell you all the specifics. I
right.
gave you the number. I gave you the email.
Right. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for
oh
joining
God.
Us this morning.
Thank
I know you've had
you.
A super busy weekend, and coming in here and making time for us was very special. We appreciate
you
it.
You are special.
Well,
and thank you for talking about this big event. Thank you very much for everything.
Oh, yeah.
And nice meeting you.
Nice
you,
to
too.
Meet you too.
You too. We'll
friends.
You'll be back.
Yes. Yeah.
I have a feeling you'll be back.
Okay.
Yeah, there's more. She has more
she
stories.
She has a lot of stories yes. that we don't have time for. So
yeah.
you'll be back when you're in town.
All right. Glad to be back when you want me.
Coming up next,
Don't Even Get Me Started.
Right here on Lake 96.1.
Life Matters continues on Lake 96.1, sponsored by Mercy Health, a passion for making lives better. Now.
Ugh, don't even get me started.
Now that was fun.
What a great show.
Yes.
That was a blast talking to her.
Yes.
Gosh.
Yes.
Yeah. So awesome. We thank her for coming in and sharing those stories. I'm sure she had so many more.
Oh,
so
yeah.
many more. I can't wait.
We could do a whole show.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll be able to definitely have her back again.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't
yes.
live too far away.
No, she doesn't live too far away. And I would be interested in talking to her about her experiences as a first responder at 9/11.
Absolutely.
But we didn't have time to even remotely go there today. Yeah. But yeah, that would be interesting. It would be interesting from a woman's perspective, from a, you know, a mom's perspective.
Right.
So, yeah. So we'll have Diane back. But in the meantime, it's another edition of
Don't Even Get Me Started.
I know you have something that we've all been talking about this week, all on social media.
Okay. So in the morning, I posted on my Facebook page that it was Yanni and get over it. Move on. This is stupid.
Uh-oh.
Later on, I listened to the recording later on that night at home. I listened to the recording again, and it was clearly Laurel. There are two different recordings, people.
Yes,
why
sir.
Are we so... Here's the word that we need to... Does everybody understand this word? Gullible. Because that's what we all are. There's no... I mean, there's no different hearing it. You're hearing it different because it's two different words.
Did somebody change the levels, though?
Don't know.
And put that
Don't
out
care.
There? Because it came off of vocabulary.com. So you think that there'd just be one recording from there. And the one recording that was shared was this gal from high school that was talking about it to one of her classes. And one heard Laurel. The other one heard Yanni. And so, and is it Yanni or Yanni? Because I've heard
know.
Both. But anyway, so I'm just wondering where the two different levels of audio came from.
I don't know.
So you've heard both this week.
Yeah. And you know what? I care even less today than I did when I first heard it. And I care even less about this than I do of the blue or gold or white dress or whatever the heck that was
well,
a couple months ago.
Well, at least the dress fashion.
That dress, by the way, was mm-hmm. white and gold, not blue.
I saw both, but I saw both.
See, it's not... I don't know. Whatever.
Did you see...
Don't even get me started.
This is what we're talking
Such
about.
Fat waste of time. Big
it
fat
is,
waste of time.
But once in a while, it is a waste of time. But on the other hand, sometimes it's just kind of nice to get away from reality.
Hey,
once
I just,
in a while.
Here's one for you. And particular people who may be listening will know what I'm talking about here. I have a friend and her name is Laurel. We call her Joe.
Well, there you go.
So you know what I hear? I hear Joe.
Joe.
That's right. Move on. Nobody cares.
Do you have anything else for Don't Even Get Me Started?
I don't. That's like I need more. Like that wasn't enough. Oh, yes, I do.
Well,
you know what? Leave Meghan Markle's dad alone. He couldn't make the wedding. I don't think they're all that close anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Families are not perfect.
No.
Leave him alone. Nobody should be bothering him. Just let them move on with their lives and from their beautiful wedding yesterday and all of that. But just leave Meghan Markle's dad alone. Now,
right.
the crazy sister. Okay. Crazy sister. Cray cray.
Exactly.
Okay. She brings on her own crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But the dad, just leave him alone. He's mm-hmm. sick. He's old. He's, you know, clearly not healthy.
Right.
Just whatever.
Right.
Leave him alone.
And, you know, and before I heard it about the fact that the stage pictures was this stepsister's or whatever, her sister's idea. At first, I was thinking, you know what? They're going to take pictures anyway.
Right.
They're going to take pictures anyway. Is it really, can you not maybe cash in? I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, I know that it is the royal family, and I know that I wouldn't want to make the queen mad at me.
No.
But do you, can you, and I don't know his financial situation, and nor do I care, but I'm just saying, if somebody needed the money, were they that wrong? If it was you, you know?
Whatever.
So anyway, so moving on, I have a Don't Even Get Me Started with the whole... Same on the same subject. Meghan Markle, who everybody's going crazy this week, who is going to walk her down the aisle?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that it's very traditional there. I know that it's a different setting than you and I. But seriously, she's 36 years old. She is divorced. Can she not walk herself down the aisle?
I think she's quite capable.
I think she is.
I mean,
as well.
I think it's cool that it was the combination.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
But you know, I'd let Prince Charles walk me down the aisle.
I would too, but
I mean, it's not like he's a nobody,
right?
But,
yeah,
I mean, it's
no,
just
I agree.
It, what
but
I think that they have slowly, because of these two boys, they have had to slowly accept some more modern and change their traditions to maybe some more modern things. Mm-hmm. For instance, Princess Kate's dress.
Yes.
Okay, that was not a traditional. It was gorgeous.
It wasn't it though.
You know, and so back even way back then when they got married, I think that there's just some, you know, the Queen Mother has had to
adapt,
kind of, you know, stand back and just say, okay, this is, you know, you have to keep this particular set of dignified parameters, mm-hmm. but, you know, this isn't 1953.
Right.
So, right. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, I understand that. I think it's cool that he did. I'm really glad that it's over because I just got tired of every morning all the time.
Right. Every little nitpicky thing. But then it wasn't just that. Let's be happy about it. I am impressed because they show such loyalty. We can't be loyal to anybody for 5 minutes in this country.
I applaud that. So true.
You know?
Yes.
I mean, I think that the fact that this hierarchy has been in existence for all of these years and mm-hmm. the historical significance of it is amazing and incredible. And so I just am glad to see the pomp and circumstance continue on.
I love tradition.
That's impressive. Yes.
I do love tradition, if you know. And so that is, with that being said, so glad that that's done. Glad it's over. Glad that they can get on with their lives. I have one more if we have time.
Sure, why not?
Did you see?
Who's stopping us, really?
I don't think anyone.
Nobody.
Did you see the news story about the 25-year-old man in Texas? He went back to high school and posed as a high school boy so he could play basketball, so he could be a high school basketball star. He's 25 years old. This is the bad thing that is even more even to the Don't Even Get Me Started. He was dating a 14-year-old. And the mom thought the daughter thought he was 17.
Is he in jail now?
I don't know how it ended. He should be, definitely. But he went back to just to be a basketball star, and no one realized it until he was at a tournament and one of his former coaches saw him and called him out. That's the only way. That's the only thing that he was.
How did he even? Okay, talk about somebody, first of all, living in mom's basement mm-hmm. still. Okay.
Yes.
But don't you have to have like a birth certificate or identification and stuff to enroll
in
school?
So. He said that.
I mean, I didn't know I could just go over to Badger and say, hey, I think I'll take some classes and play some volleyball.
I think that he said
sign
that
me
he
up.
Was, yeah.
I need a membership to the school.
And of all things, like I want to be, you know, like this.
Right.
Yeah.
So dude, you don't go to school. You could go to the Y.
Right.
They'll take you.
Yeah.
At
there's
25.
Many programs.
Right.
Get on a men's basketball league.
Well, he wasn't good enough for
maybe
that.
Not, but so that's my Don't Even Get Me Started this week.
And then we haven't even touched on the 14-year-old. Like, what the heck?
I know.
That's criminal.
That is, yeah.
I mean, so I think
I
all
know.
Of it's
I don't
creepy.
Know exactly how it ended up.
But I mean, it's not
I'm
really
sure.
the girl's fault. I mean, she thought he was seven, like totally not her fault. But that's,
right.
what do you call it? When they're too young. Statutory, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know how far the relationship went.
Right, but still.
Yeah. That whole thing is just...
That's creepy and criminal, and that guy needs to be in jail.
Yes, he does. Yeah.
And I'll be a Badger on Monday morning.
I'm sure they play basketball there, too, when they have free time.
They're 1 hour outside.
Maybe.
I'm going to go to Badger and sign up.
Are you?
Sign up for a membership.
Like no one will recognize you there.
No, I never went there. I have no coaches
there.
Hi,
I'm Laurel Douglas. Hi,
don't call me Yanni. Coming up, more music right here on Lake 96.1.